Do you like my crystals?
They're very nice. I thought they were. I thought it was a pearl necklace. I'm not going to lie.
Oh my God. You thought someone gave me a pearl necklace?
Yeah.
Do you mean the literal pearl necklace or the sexual pearl necklace?
No, obviously a literal pearl necklace. It doesn't look like the sexual pearl necklace. The sexual pearl necklace looks more like ropes. One.
Yes. Have you ever given a pearl necklace of any? Have you ever given either kind of pearl necklace? Sorry, Joe.
I think we should go around the room. Let's go around the room. Has anyone here ever received or given?
Go around the room.
I don't think you can ask. These two are our quote unquote workplace friends.
But indeed.
We can ask each other. Okay.
So,
I know how.
Hold up. It goes like this. You and I can ask each other.
Yes.
But the minute it goes into the other people that are on
like
our podcast,
I feel like iHeart HR. Me, like, you can't ask Daniel and Joelle if they've given or received. Well, Joelle can't give if they've received products. Can you imagine that call? Hey guys, it's iHeart HR.
What a great start.
Show's great, by the way.
One note.
You can't ask Daniel and Joelle if they've received pearl necklace.
Oh boy.
Man, this show just started.
It just started.
Did you have fun doing our live show?
I had a great time doing a live show. I'm not going to lie to you. I was nervous. I was like, how are we going to top the last one? Zach's talking about all of these freaking secret guests. Yeah. I know one of them's going to be Bill. I'm hoping, like, I was thinking it was going to be like Bill, Krista, and Sarah. But Rob and Aloma.
That's not a good
great
surprise.
Poem. That's such a great poem.
By the way, we would have
poem.
Had Sarah too, listeners, just so you know, and those of you who watched it, but she was shooting her new fancy show. Mm. And
Firefly Lane.
And Michael Spiller was directing her. So there you go.
Oh.
That's so cool. Mike Spiller wouldn't let her out.
He actually texted me. He's like, sorry, I can't get you Sarah. I'm like, you dick.
Wow, that's a dickhead move, Mike Spiller.
But anyway, listen, were you, until Bill fucking ruined it, were you surprised about Aloma?
So funny.
I was so surprised about Aloma. And even when Bill ruined it, that shit was funny, man.
She was so funny. I didn't realize she was going to be so sassy.
She was sassy.
I mean, I know the character is sassy, but Aloma was sassy.
She was sassy. I think there was a little bit of pent up anger for the, you know, she's like, I bought an Escalade.
I was thinking about her Escalade. I assume she leased it and then she just had to turn in the lease or something. That sucks. I felt bad about that. I wouldn't tell that story, but Bill made me tell that story.
Bill was like, tell the story. For you guys who are wondering, you'll have to watch the live show and listen.
Well, they can listen. By the time this airs, they won't be able to watch anymore.
That's right. You can listen.
Indeed.
Wait a second. Aloma, she did have some pent-up hostility about being killed.
Yeah. There was a little bit of
But then she did say, babe, she did say, Bill, thanks for my retirement. That was nice.
Well, yeah, it was a great, I mean, she was on for, did she do 9 seasons or did she just do the 8? Like, who went on to do the 9th?
I don't
did
know. Rob go? Was there. I wasn't there. Was Rob on that season?
I don't know, dude. I don't remember the 9th season. I really don't.
Joelle, can you look that up? Did Aloma and Rob did season 9? I don't remember.
Yeah. No
Why would
problem.
You take... I'm sure Rob was there. Rob wasn't going to fucking be like, sorry, I'm moving on.
No, didn't Rob go on to do... He was doing soaps at that time, wasn't he? Wasn't he doing soaps at the same time as season 9?
No.
Yeah, so he was. Yeah. Ask Bill. Rob. This is an Ask Bill question. Bill...
Or we could ask Joelle to Google, but okay.
Bill and... How about we ask
Bill... takes
Bill,
forever and then never fucking replies.
This is right? so long in the future.
Daniel has to track him down for months.
Often I do.
Yeah. Hey, Daniel, can we hook up a thing where we can call Rob like live during the show? I feel like he would answer the phone and we could ask him questions.
Yes, we could if somebody wants to hook their phone up to their Zoom. So we can certainly sort you out some equipment
to
do that.
Can you send me the gear that would enable me to do that?
Yes.
Because I think it would be funny to, like, let's just randomly call Rob and see what he's doing.
Or we could randomly call Bill or randomly call Johnny.
Yeah, we could randomly call people.
Yeah.
That's a nice new feature.
That's a great new feature.
I'll sort that out.
Hey, fake doctors, real friends fans, We've got a new feature coming. It's called the Random Call.
What you trying to get into? What day or soon?
You know.
What you trying to do?
What are you trying to get into?
The Random Call.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my friend has a crystal company that I'm on a shout out because she sent me lots of free crystals. Vibes.store.
How you spell vibes? Just like vibes, the word?
Vibes.store. Classic. If you're into crystals and crystal stuff. So I don't know anything about the power of crystals, but she said if I wear this long, what Donald called pearl necklace, they're clear. They're not pearl colored. And she would tell you exactly
what it is.
Maybe
they didn't have enough protein in it. Maybe there's not enough protein.
Oh my God, Donald. And she also sent me these to wear. I've had them all on all day.
How do you feel?
I felt good. And then Florence FaceTimed me and she's like, why are you wearing all of those beads? And then I felt less good. I felt like a topless girl at Mardi Gras. But you know what? I was feeling stressed. And I was like, you know what? I don't even know if any of this shit works, but I'm going to just put them all on and see what happens. Joelle, do you believe in crystals?
Yeah, I have many of them. They're all over the place in my room. I like holding them. Weird story. My grandpa died holding, he had this worry stone, he called it. He was constantly, if he was upset or whatever, he would just rub it. He died in a plane crash. He was holding it. So I have that. And that sort of started my love of, different rocks and crystals and gems and stuff.
Wow.
Well, I'm open to it, especially when my friend sent me a box full of different stuff. There's even a straw, right? A metal straw with a crystal on around the bottom of it. And you put it in your drinks, and whatever you're drinking gets the magic from the crystal.
Whoa.
Cool. I'm down.
You know what it sounds like to me?
Hmm. What?
A little dun 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 dun.
I thought you were gonna go different. I thought you were going to go to Superman goes to his weird...
to the Fortress of Solitude. That's another one.
What an uncomfortable place. By the way, here's my memory
well,
of the Fortress
of Solitude. Not if
that
you don't
satin
feel
Betty
cold.
Had. Here's the thing. Now, do you know what a papasan chair is?
No.
No.
All right. Well, if you're listening and you're curious, Google a papasan chair. They were very popular. They sold them at those stores that sell international, world market kind of thing. It's like a big bowl, wooden bowl with a cushion in the wooden bowl, and you could move it around different shapes.
Oh, yeah.
Can you picture what I'm talking about?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We had one as a child, and as a little kid, I thought it was the coolest thing. We'd play it and pretend it was a spaceship, the whole thing. So I see Fortress of Solitude, and I'm like, I remember thinking as a kid, this looks cold and not cozy. And then he's hooking up with what's her name,
Lord.
And he's in basically a papasan chair with satin sheets.
Yeah,
he bangs Lois.
Yes,
in a satin sheet covered papasan chair.
But after he lost his powers,
really, he doesn't have his powers then.
There's no way he could have sex with her with his powers.
Why? He'd shoot her across the room.
He'd kill her.
What?
Wait, is that a thing? Really?
Come on, man.
No.
He's a superhuman alien.
So I don't watch any of these. Henry Cavill doesn't ever have sex?
Not yet. They've had sex, from what I understand. But I imagine he has to take it really, really easy.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like having sex with another Kryptonian. I imagine with another Kryptonian, it's like thunderclapping. Boom! Every time.
Yeah.
Boom! Boom! Right? But with Lois, he has
That's Superman coming.
Gentle.
This is Superman coming.
And then Lois, flyby.
And then Lois's vagina is like,
you honor me. You honor me. You honor me. Oh my goodness.
On that note, 5, 6, 7, 8.
About a show we made, about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I always know I'm gonna laugh with you guys. Even when I'm racing to get here on time and I'm so stressed about, do I take enough notes? I always know I'm going to giggle with you fools.
Where were you today?
I am, was, location scouting in New Jersey for my new film.
Cool.
Can I ask you? Okay, so here's a question that I
have. Go ahead, Donald Faison. I call on you.
So I start doing this show, and I'm writing it, and I'm pretty much show running it and everything like that. But now these auditions are coming up.
Yeah.
But I'm doing so much. I'm focused so hard on the show that it's like, wait, hold up. I don't necessarily have time to focus on these lines like I wanted to.
That's ridiculous.
You think that's ridiculous? You think
I should? Of course it is. Your show is well, it will be success, I'm sure, because you're so talented. But you've got little mouths to feed, and acting is your specialty, and you can't be phoning in these fucking auditions.
Right. It's hard to find when you're show running. It's hard to find time to do it all at. You know what I mean? Is what I'm finding, and it's very, very difficult to juggle the schedule.
I know, man. I know, but that's what happens when you hustle at a high level.
Yeah.
Bill Lawrence is like literally running like four shows.
Right.
It's insane, and he's got three kids and a wife.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough. It's like that's the thing. Now it's like, all right, I definitely want to still be a successful actor.
Yes.
I definitely still want to put the work in that's needed to do that. But I really want this show to be successful and good. I really want people to enjoy it. You know what I mean?
You got to practice your time management, because
right.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at a lot of auditions right now for my film. And if the person's not off book and not memorized and not prepared, they can't possibly, and this is a lesson to you actors out there, I've said it before, can't possibly compete with someone who's clearly worked on it. And clearly, like we talk about, Johnny sees the extreme, like hiring mm-hmm. people to come in and fucking play all the other parts and putting on a metronome. And that's like the most mega version I ever heard. But like you see people that come in and you're just like drop jawed at how much work they put in, how much thought they put into it, how fucking off book they are, that they're feeling comfortable riffing. And then there's other people holding lines like this. And you're like, dude, you can't possibly compete with the dude who just came before you.
No, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. And so that's
especially in the last thing I'll say is especially in this whole, you know, audition move to Zoom world, because it used to be back in the day, you went in the room, you made them laugh, you bonded, you like had the chit chat that if you're charming like you can buy you a lot of mileage.
Maybe even now, call
now
back,
it's
right.
Now it's just right. Zoom. It's like, hey, how are you? All right, here we go.
Right.
That shit's so weird. It's my first time doing as a director. Obviously, because the only other thing I made during the pandemic was solos, and Anne Hathaway didn't exactly audition. And
she didn't have to?
No, she was attached.
Okay.
And you know, I've never done this auditioning people over Zoom before, which is very odd. Of course, the actors are used to the whole rigmarole, but me as a filmmaker, it's such an odd experience. It's an odd way to do it.
Right. Yeah, so... That's the thing. It's like, all right, how do I find time to focus on the show to where I feel comfortable? You know, I want to be like George Lucas when attached to this, but still being holding myself accountable enough to, before I go to bed, making sure I know my lines for the audition I have in the upcoming days.
You yeah.
know what I mean?
Well, that's, I would say don't do it right when you're tired, because no one wants to do shit when they're tired. I would say like, set, you know, you got to look at your week. You know, I think paper calendars are really helpful for some people. They certainly mm-hmm. are for me. I like to look at a big ass calendar of the week or the month. And you can say like, okay, I got this audition on that day. If I'm going to get those lines down, I at least have to do 2 hours on this day. Okay, so I block those hours out. Okay, now, you know, and just schedule the shit out of it.
Right.
If you can't just do it on a whim, because you're going to be like, oh, fuck, I'm just going to play this video game for a second. All right, wait, I'm just going to watch a second of that game. All right. Oh, wait, I'm going to fuck around and hang out with my kids for like 3 seconds. And then you're tired.
Then you're done, yeah. Just, you know, yeah. Food for thought for all of you out there who have busy schedules. I'm wondering how you make it through. What's your thing? Zach says keep hustling.
Listen, there's an expression harder. That I've heard before that I really truly believe.
Yeah.
Are you ready for it?
I'm listening.
Some of you have heard it before, but maybe some of you haven't. If you want to get something done, give it to a busy person.
Mm.
Because they're in the fucking space of, I got this to do, then I got to do that. I got this. Someone who's not busy is like, later I should probably memorize the lines. you know? But when you're in like fucking hustle mode and you're like, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that, you schedule your shit and you get it down.
That's what's
but
up.
You should definitely not be slacking on your auditions, man. You're too talented to be phoning anything in.
But that's the last thing I want to do right now is to phone in anything. I'd rather not do the audition than phone it in.
All right, should we talk about the show Scrubs?
We should.
It's called My New Suit, and it was written by Tim Hobart, very funny man, and directed by Victor Nelly Jr., very talented director.
Yes.
And I laughed a lot in this episode, Donald.
Did you?
You didn't.
I had to watch it. I did not. I had to watch it twice, and the second time I laughed. I laughed more. I didn't think at first. I was like, "This isn't that funny." This, you know what I mean? Like,
it's a contained episode. It's very. Yeah. There's not a lot that happens. It was probably one of those. Hey, we spent a lot of money on last week's episode. We need one that's a little cheaper.
Yeah. Well, but they brought in Tom Cavanaugh. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know. I didn't get Tom's role in the show until the very end.
It's about tough love.
Yeah.
I think the episode's about tough love.
Right, but I didn't get that until the end. A lot of the stuff I understood with Elliot and her telling the kid, you know, dude, you lost that weight. If you lost that weight, it would be easy for you to get in here. But because you didn't, you got to go to the zoo.
That must be a real thing. I mean, maybe wouldn't have made that up. That is so fucked up.
Yep. Well, hey, you know, that's how it goes sometimes.
I know. I'm not saying that it isn't what they need to do, but I never heard that, and I'm sure they didn't make that up, that if someone is as big as that young man is, they have to take them to the zoo for an MRI.
For an MRI, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so, like, I got that, and I was like, wow, that's a hard pill to swallow for anyone to have to hear something like that, right?
Are you able to do that in your life? Are you able to say the shit that someone really needs to hear, even though it's going to be so uncomfortable and you don't want to hurt their feelings?
Sometimes. Sometimes it's, well, this is a lesson that you have to learn on your own.
I think I hide from hurting anyone's feelings probably too much.
I live with Casey Cobb, and you know
yeah,
she don't play that shit.
She's a straight shooter.
You don't play that shit at all.
Casey always says, what is her expression? She goes, what's the phrase she says, Donald? She goes,
which one?
When she's about to drop some a truth bomb on your ass.
No judgments.
Y'all. Yeah.
No judgments, y'all.
Oh, that's sometimes when she's talking about herself. She'll be like, all right, no judgments, y'all, but dubba 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 dubba. And she's a straight shooter. So you have your wife you can lean on. You can be like, we got to tell this person that this.
Well, she's the one that's like, nah, you should mind your business. Or she'll be like, yeah, you should tell that person that, you know.
I feel like I'm so worried about hurting anyone's feelings to mine in their detriment that I don't say things sometimes that need to be said, you know? Because if everyone's tiptoeing, if everyone's friends are tiptoeing around saying something, then they might not know. They really truly might not know.
But the worst part is when it goes down, like, let's say it's a girl or it's about somebody that you're dating and, you know, everybody's like, you should break up with that person secretly behind your back. And then when the person breaks your heart or something like that, everybody's like, you know, we were thinking this shit for a really long time. And your response is, well, why didn't you tell me? You know what I mean? Oh, well, we didn't want to hurt your feelings. Fuck that shit.
But then you still got to tread carefully because you know what happens. They get right back together with the person and you unloaded all that
right,
shit.
And then you told them everything. That's the most fucked up shit. I learned at a very young age.
Oh, man.
Do not pillow talk. Do not pillow talk no matter who you with. Don't do it.
Wait, I thought pillow talk is when you're lying around in bed with your partner and talking at night.
Yeah, but you could talk shit with people. Like, you talk shit to a girl like, oh, this person's horrible or such and such. Because next thing you know, that shit's all around. Somebody else heard that shit from somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
Because you broke up.
No, the worst part is like someone breaks up and you're like, okay, look, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. It was none of my business. And then you just unload all this shit, right? And then they're like, yeah, yeah. And they're like swiping away their tears. And then the next day they're like, we got back together. And you're like, fuck.
It all sucks, dude.
All right. So what's going on in here? We got a hamster.
Ass hamster.
Doug found the hamster in a dead guy's colon, which means the man was doing that thing that some men do, I guess, or people do. What's that called, Joelle? Hamstering?
That is, I don't know.
This is what I don't understand. How does a rodent?
I think you put a tube in your ass.
Doesn't a colon have? No, well, I'm not necessarily. Okay, before we even get to how you get the rodent up in there,
I think
I
want to
know. Okay, right. How does the rodent live in?
You know those hamster things, habitats. It's like it's like a yellow tube that the hamster would normally go to its bedroom in. Like, I'm off to bed,
but
you
instead
stick
it
out
enters
your ass.
The anus cavity.
Yes.
It's called gerbling.
Gerbling.
Oh. Gerbling.
How do you gerbil, Joelle? Can you tell our audience if they want to try this?
Whoa!
Actually, don't try this.
See, there's some,
don't
some
try this at home,
on
please.
Dear, dear fake doctors, real friends, listeners, this is a alert that this is not something you should try.
Yes, don't
at home.
Do this at home. Don't do this at home. Seriously, no joke, kidding. People go to the hospital for this.
Joelle's face is horrified.
Joelle, give us the cliff notes. How did you do it?
On the Wikipedia page, it says often the rodents are given a psychoactive substance such as cocaine prior to being inserted.
you give the gerbil coke. Okay, step one. Step one.
Go on.
I never heard anything in my life that was step one, give the gerbil cocaine.
Oh my god.
All right, that's not even step one.
It's step one, buy cocaine. Yeah. Not for you, for the gerbil.
Step two, buy gerbil. Step three, give gerbil cocaine.
Something comforting to listeners, Dan Savage, who is a sex advice columnist who frequently discusses unusual sexual practices, stated
like
in 2013
Savage.
That he's never received a firsthand or even a secondhand account of the practice. So maybe no one's done it and it just lives in fantasy land.
Oh, people do it. I've heard stories of people in the
ER. You've heard stories. You don't have
that's
first.
True. That's true. No one was like, bro, you're not going to believe what happened to me last night. But one thing I don't understand is, and I'm going to say this in a non-graphic way, audience, don't worry. Once the gerbil on coke is inside your rectum.
Yeah, what's supposed to happen then?
What then happens? I guess him or her running around on coke feels nice to some people.
In your gut?
In your intestines?
In your butt.
Your anus, in your butt.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. A lot of people like
scratchy. It feels like there'd be. Like,
well, maybe you declaw. Is declaw the fourth step?
Oh man,
Jesus!
We're just piling on the layers of animal cruelty on this one.
No, we're not saying you should do this. Hold
don't
on.
Don't do this. No.
Disclaimer.
We don't do this at home. Yeah, no one's going to
do
this. No.
Don't do this. But if you do,
you honor me.
No, listen. Don't do it.
Oh no.
Okay, so anyway, moving on, since it's the first moment of the show.
Right.
And then they find Doug in the fetal position, and he goes, why would he live in there?
Right, why?
Elliot likes to role play that she's trying to get pregnant.
This is her new role play.
Yes, her new role play. Keith is so understanding.
Keith is having fun.
What about when fucking Tom Cavanaugh tries to have a threesome and they cut to Keith stretching?
And he's stretching, getting ready to go in there
and
to make it happen.
Folding his shirt.
Yeah. He's like, all right, well, shit.
That was the funniest moment of the show. Tom Cavanaugh shows up at their house. Elliot's in very sexy lingerie. And Keith's standing there. And Tom Cavanaugh misreads the situation. Like, all right, I'm in. I'm like, he's down to have a threesome. He walks to the bedroom, starts jumping on their bed. And Keith is like, Elliot, you have to warn me about these things. But he doesn't get mad. He enters and starts stretching.
Then she closes the door and heads that way. She heads that way and closes the door. At first, that was my question at first, was did they have the threesome? But then later on, they say it almost happened.
I think that they added that for protection of Elliot's character or something.
Right. Okay. Well,
I mean, because it's way funnier if they had a threesome.
If they did have the threesome, that would.
I guess it doesn't work story-wise because Tom Cavanaugh needs to be rejected.
Right. So I never got this story about breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, spiking the lens.
I get the joke. I get what it is that it's trying to do. But then even at the end of it, where he's like, we'll be right back. And she goes, the patient goes, was he talking to us? And
yes, it is pushing. If you think of the red line where Scrubs pushes reality, it's definitely sticking your toe over the reality line in a way that we don't normally do.
Right.
Because in the world of cinema and television, when someone's looking directly into the lens, not always, but let's say for the most part, you are looking at the audience. And that's what the joke is, obviously. But it's not something we normally do very often on Scrubs.
It's rare.
I laughed. I mean, first of all, the whole America thing was funny.
Yeah, it's America.
I want to know what America thinks.
It's America. It's America. And of course I like it.
Why is
he here? I made
it. Yeah, and then someone goes, why is he here? Is that me? I forgot. But like, why is
No, you go, he's a dynamite Taylor. That's what your next line.
Why is he in the ICU? Who lets the Taylor into the ICU? This place must have so many germs.
Well, it did. It did.
Yes, but then I like, we'll be right back. Right. Is he talking to us?
I don't care.
Yeah. Okay, now.
We already discussed that Tom Cavanaugh's back.
Yes, and Herbert, who is the obese patient, who's very charming.
Also from the wonderful movie Old School. He was in that.
Oh, was he the guy in Old School?
Yes, I think he might have also been. If it's not him, it's his brother, played Hercules from The Nutty Professor. Hercules.
Oh, really?
It might be his brother. I think it's his brother, though.
Hercules.
Yeah.
Now, there's a new beautiful nurse or intern. I think she's
a nurse, but I don't think she's.
Or is she a doctor?
She might be an intern.
I don't know what she does, but she's a new character.
Right, and she has crossed Ted.
Ted says, you turned me down 14 times for drinks. Well, who's the creeper loser now?
He is still.
Yeah, it's still you.
I mean, this is a straight up HR episode. Like,
I know.
You can't ask somebody out 14 times at the workplace. That's just.
Ted might get one. What about all the conversations Ted has with his mom in this episode? It's so weird.
Yeah.
Right, Joelle, you're making that face.
Yeah, I know. It's horrifying. He's talking about rubbing lotion in dry places.
They share a bed.
It's not good.
Yeah. Let's get back to him asking her out 14 times.
Yeah. You can't do that, everybody.
You can't do that, can you?
Yeah. No. Just like we can't ask these guys about pearl necklaces. You can't.
Joelle, how many times can you ask somebody out before it's sexual harassment at the workplace? Once? That's it?
Pretty unless you... Unless the person is like, ask me later, like, oh, I'm not sure right now, you should probably just stick to one time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think once is a good rule, everybody. First of all.
Although I did ask my wife out several times before she said yes.
Yeah, but you know why that's an exception? First of all, there's two exceptions. You didn't work together. Second of all, you were definitely getting flirty vibes back. And if you can read the vibes, that's like correctly. And you're not misreading them.
Well,
you might go, okay, I'm going to try again in a month.
I feel like that's gotten a lot of people in trouble, though, where they've been like, you know, I thought I was reading the flirty vibes correctly.
You know what the problem is? This is why we can't endorse this. Too many people can't read the vibes right.
Mm, there you go.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Dan, I'll speak to that.
I agree with everybody's point here is that, like, I think Casey and Donald's scenario is certainly unique in that there was a friendship there. There was certainly something going. But right.
Well, but also, this
people.
Was like before you continue, this is like nightclubs and parties and like, you know, this isn't like a fucking cubicle job.
Right.
Right.
But sorry, Dan, I'll continue.
No, totally fine. But too often people hear no and they hear and people get a no, but what they hear is, okay, I'm going to try again in like a week and see what happens. It's like, no, you got a no. That means no. You move on. You say, okay, thank you for your time. Sorry to bother you. See you next Tuesday. Yeah.
See you next Tuesday. Wow. You call it
Okay, I apologize. Wow. That is literally... Okay, you know what's really funny about that? That is not what I meant by that. What I meant by that was literally like, okay, I should have said see you on Monday.
Should we take a break,
Joelle? See you on Monday.
Yes.
We'll be right back. And when we come back, I want to talk about Tom Cavanaugh's piercing blue eyes.
They were really bright. His skin was really white, and his eyes were really blue.
He has the most beautiful eyes. We'll be right back. And we're back!
And we're back!
Daniel, did you intend to say see you next Tuesday?
No, I did not. But it does remind me, my professor in psychology in college, our classes were on Thursday and Tuesday. At the end of every Thursday class, he would say, all right, see you next Tuesday. And that was always something funny.
And you guys would always
laugh. Did everyone giggle or just
and
you?
I would say about 50-50.
50%. I bet 50% of the people listening don't even know what we're talking about. But Google it, because we're not going to get in trouble here. So Turk can't contain himself. He has to tell JD about Angie.
Yes. So Carl and Turk have decided that they're now going to name this baby in her belly. They don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but Carla has already decided on the girl's name, and it's going to be Angie. And she asks Turk if he wants to name the, if it's a boy, if he wants to give the baby a name. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. Say hello to Fuquan.
Fuquan.
Yeah. And she's like, no. I meant like, I was thinking more like George. And he's like, yeah, sure. George is fine. And he's like, because I was thinking for a girl. And she's like, no. Angie, we already came up with the name. And he's like,
right, fine.
We've already came up with the name. She tells him, don't tell no one, because if you do it, they're going to fuck it up for us. And I don't want that. I want this baby's name to be ours, and that's it. And he's like, absolutely, I will not tell anyone. And you know exactly who he's going to tell.
Yeah.
The minute he says
instantly,
that.
Instantly. You can't hold it in for 2 seconds.
Not even a sec. He runs to JD, who is in a room with a patient, and interrupts the patient and doctor time to tell JD, if we have a girl, we're going to name it Angie.
Now, this is a question I have for you as a parent of so many children. Aren't you supposed to keep the name quiet? Because otherwise everybody weighs in and says, oh, I knew a guy. Don't do that. Oh, this creepy guy's name that. Oh, I hate that girl named that. Like, right? Everyone's got an opinion.
Yes. You are to keep it to yourself. And usually from what I've, like, we didn't know Rocco's name until a few weeks out. You know, and we didn't know Wilder's name until a few days out, you know. And some people don't know until the baby's born. And so, you know, but I would keep it to myself, because everybody has a story about someone. You know what I mean?
Right.
You'd be like, it never goes well when you're like, well, we were thinking about this name. Somebody's always going to be like, I did know that one person named.
It's funny, Amanda was broadcasting that she loved Elvis for so long, and we were all cringing. I was like, Amanda, no. Unless you like are obsessed with Elvis. She's like, I like Elvis, but the musical legend, but I don't. It's not like I'm a mega fan. I just love the name Elvis. And she did it the opposite way. So she was like telling him, she was like trying to run a campaign, clearly on Nick as well, but also the friend group. And now I love it. But at the time, I remember being like, Amanda, no. So that's what you don't want. You don't want the friend being like, no, dude, not Fuquan.
Well, yeah. I mean, not just, or you know, naming a hamster after the baby either. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what's so funny. By the way, it's very rare that anyone outside the main cast gets a fan. Isn't it a fantasy? It's a flashback. And this little girl in playing with the hamster gets a flashback, and it gets to me playing with the kids and the hamster that we should name the hamster Angie.
Yeah. They're asking, what should we name it? Ooh, and you're like, oh, I got a perfect name. We should name it Angie. Now, why do you think JD did that?
Because I don't think he did it so consciously. I think it was subconsciously. Like, the first new thing in his brain was Angie. He's like, how about Angie?
And all the kids going, that shit was hilarious when they're walking by and they're like, who wants to hold her next? Me, I get to hold Angie next. And turn and when, Carla stop and backtrack into the room.
What's it called? The ass gerbil?
The ass gerbil Angie. Angie the ass gerbil.
How about when I go, but what about Tiger? Like, no, so you apparently are telling everyone you're related to Tiger Woods?
Right. This goes on for a while, though. I think they're like three quarters related. Like, he's a quarter. I don't know what it is, but.
Oh, you mean it comes back in another episode?
Yeah, this comes back a couple of times. Turk,
how about
talks
the gay
about
test where you play Macho Man over
right.
the
woman? I wonder how and much they, money. I wonder how much money they spent on that graphic to have that baby dancing in that freaking uterus.
A lot, because you know we're not known for our visual effects, and that was pretty good.
Right,
but that was okay, pretty so funny. Now, that was pretty this, funny.
This know, might be the funniest thing in the show. You said you thought it was the threesome thing. I want to talk about the janitor's adopted brother named Cleet.
Yes. Boy, you're cutting ahead a lot, but okay.
Okay.
The janitor's parents, they adopted a 46-year-old.
Yes. He was older than they were.
He was older than they were. And his name was Cleet, and he did odd jobs around the house.
Right. Talk like this. Old time. Talk like this.
Yeah. And everything was great until the janitor's mom slept with Cleet.
Yeah, because Cleet, when he got older, him and the janitor's dad just used to fight all the time. Yeah. They just started fighting all the time.
I don't know if you can legally adopt.
It's called letting somebody live with you. That's right. No.
I just want to know, can you legally adopt someone who's over 18?
No.
Yes.
What? You can. Yeah. I can adopt a grown man.
I want to adopt you,
because
Donald.
It's an acknowledgement of parenthood. And fun fact, queer couples way back in the day used to do it in order to get rights to visit people in the hospital and stuff. It's not done frequently, but it has been.
Oh, well, I would.
So
like
it's
to
done
adopt.
As a loop, as I'd a like loophole type thing. It's a loophole.
I'd like to adopt you, Donald.
I love my parents, and I acknowledge.
I know,
the
but
fact
what if
I
what if I adopted you and you had to call me dad? Daddy.
I have some say in the adoption. I'm sure of it.
Keith wears two condoms because he's so worried about getting Elliot pregnant. Now
puts on a third.
Now, one thing I do know, those of you listening, is that wearing two condoms is actually not
dangerous.
Good. It's not good. It's not advised.
It's dangerous.
It doesn't make you double protected, right, Joelle?
No, the friction between the two condoms is more likely to cause a rupture.
There you go.
Use one condom. It's enough.
One condom. But do wear a condom, everybody, okay? Mm.
Unless you both have gone and got tested and you're
willing to have a baby.
Yeah, and you're okay with having a baby.
How about when Elliot and Keith are having sex, Elliot says, "Promise me you'll hold me like this when I'm pushing our baby out of my bajinga."
Oh, man. No.
She's so twisted, Elliot. She is really... By the way, Keith, this woman was a completely different character sexually before Keith. What is it about Keith? I mean, I know Travis is very handsome, but what is it about Keith that has brought out the freak?
He's down for whatever. He's down for whatever.
I have a theory that Elliot hit her dirty 30s and just took off.
So wait, okay.
Well, clearly, because every other season...
Okay.
Every other season, she was like prudish, she claims.
Okay, mm-hmm. We're going to do a little bit of a reveal here.
Go ahead.
As of recently, my wife has gone over the top.
Whoa.
When it comes to sexual relations.
Zach, I love you.
Why? How so?
Let's just say she's gone over the top. It's been good before, and we got two kids, so you know the sex is good. We're putting it in if you know. Well, you know what I'm saying?
We only know you had, that only proves you had sex twice.
Everybody's gonna be like, he's twerking. But recently, she's having way more fun than I can remember in the last, and it is, and she's not 30, and oh, thank you very much, and she's not 30, so you say it's the dirty 30s, I think it comes when...
The shorty 40s.
Whatever it is, I don't know when it happened, I don't know what you call it, but, you know, everybody was like, the, you know,
the old lordy 40s.
You know, I have a very high...
sex drive, we know, everyone in America knows, yes.
Right. And I was
but you're saying she's meeting you. She's meeting you where you are.
Well, she's not necessarily meet me where I am, but when she
otherwise
does,
no one would have a job in your house.
But when it happens, it's fucking it's a party, dude. Like
that's amazing.
It's
Have you tried the Whirly Bird?
Oh my God. I want to try the Whirly Bird.
I'll spot you guys. I'll wear a blindfold and spot you guys.
Will you?
Oh my yes. Gosh.
I'm coming to LA, by the way, for the Emmys. Do you want to do it this weekend?
This weekend might work.
All right. Ask Casey, because I'm coming to town for the Emmys. Ask her if she wants me to spot you guys for the Whirly Bird. I'm definitely willing to put on Bose noise-canceling headphones and goggles. Blinding goggles.
I can't wait. So goggles. My point is...
I can't wait.
My point is Elliot has reached this level, and she just reached it at an early age. You know what I mean? She is freaking
out. But sometimes it's the partner.
True. Definitely. Look at him. He's a fucking Ken doll, man. Like, and he's bendy, right.
And he's got dynamite areolas. We know
You know
that.
What I mean? Like, I mean, she's human. It's not like, you know what I mean? I'm sure she has fantasy. Just because she's a woman doesn't mean it can't be fulfilled. So.
Right. I'm just saying sometimes when you get with a specific partner, like you can have great sex with somebody else and you would call it great sex, but then there's something about the chemistry between you and a specific partner where you both are just like,
fuck it, I'll eat the ass. I'll do it. Right.
Oh my God.
Is that too much? Did I go too far?
You honor me.
Did I go too far?
Wait, say it again.
Fuck it, I'll eat the ass. What? Did I go too far?
No.
Am I going too far?
No, not far enough.
I don't think that's going to bring in iHeart HR. It was just the pearl necklace.
No, that's good.
Now, Harrison and Winston, we learn, wear Tonto and Lone Ranger jammies to bed.
Harrison and Winston.
Harrison, first of all, here's the funny thing, right? Harrison's new boyfriend is named Winston.
Winston.
And they dress up. They dress up.
They sound like the two people in the freaking balcony for the Muppets, Harrison and Winston.
They dress up as Toto and Lone Ranger, not to go to a costume party, but Kelsey reports that's their jammies.
Yeah, to go to bed.
Now, at the end of the episode, the picture.
Yes.
Is Randall Winston
and Randall
and his husband Michael. Now, if you pause, you'll see that
they're dressed up like the Lone Ranger.
But also that it's getting complicated because if you're really staying in the Scrubs universe, Winston must be the twin brother of Leonard, the security guard.
Yes. Yes. So maybe Harrison met him when visiting his dad at the hospital on the same day that Leonard, the security guard's twin brother Winston.
This is some deep, this is the kind of shit you fools do with Star Wars and Marvel. Like, okay, so Leonard's twin brother must have met Harrison at the hospital.
Well, the timeline does fit. The timeline.
It's not a different. What do you call it? A different. What do you call it?
It's not a
multiverse.
It's not a multiverse situation. The timeline fits the occasion.
Perfect. Okay. So, here it is. JD names dead guy's butt hamster Angie. I couldn't find it. They say that Turk is the greatest pink bellier in all the land.
Yes. I remember shooting this. Do you remember shooting this?
You really did it, didn't you?
No, I didn't. We faked it. Oh, but I remember shooting it. I remember having to do it. I remember Victor being like, keep going. I was like, really? How long do I got to do this for?
Oh, because you're going to speed it up.
Right.
I think you really did it like once or twice. And I was like, no, you're not doing that.
No.
It really fucking hurt. I don't mean to sound like a wimp, but it hurt.
That would really hurt.
How about that door hit? That was a fucking major door hit. And that was me.
When
and
you guys wonder
why.
Glass,
you guys wonder why I'm going to the chiropractor at 46. It's to make you all laugh. That was a fucking hit.
That was a hard one, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't say I didn't give you my all, everybody.
I was going to say, you know, naming kids is fun, but that shit's hard, dude. All honesty, you know, the dynamic of pissing your partner off because you like a name. Like, I at one point did bring up Luke and Leia to my ex-wife, and I remember her face looking at me like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Like, did you like Rocco right away?
Yeah, well, Casey came up with the name. Hmm. Casey was like, what about Rocco? No, we were watching Rocky. That's what happened. Hmm. And I was like, what do you think of Rocco? And she's like, I like Rocco.
Oh.
And she was like, and then she talked to her grandmother about it, And Casey's Italian and Sicilian. And her grandmother was like, that's a very nice Italian name, sweetie.
Oh, that's good. All right. So the baby names made it real for Carla and Turk. All of a sudden, they start panicking. The second they had names, they switched from being panicky to, oh, shit, this is real.
Yeah. You know, the closer you get to the end of the pregnancy, the more realistic it starts to become. At first, it's like, yeah, okay, sure, there's a baby in there. But then you start feeling kicks. You've come up with names. You're starting to pick out all of these clothes. The freaking furniture starting to arrive. You know, like all of these things, you're starting to change your house around or your apartment around to make space for the child and everything. Things get real, really, really, really fast. And you start panicking. I've been panicking for a really long time about my kids. You know what I mean? And it doesn't go away. I have adults and it still doesn't go away. I still am nervous, you know.
You still feel panicky about your older children?
Yeah, I worry about the choices they make, you know.
I guess all parents would probably feel that way, maybe.
Yeah, man. It's like it doesn't take much to make one mistake that could be fatal. You know what I mean? To make a fatal mistake. It doesn't take that much.
It's so hard because you can't control their choices. You can't control what they do out in the world. I can imagine that would be so stressful.
It's so stressful.
Especially when you have a teenager because it's like, oh, how are you going to like – Think about what you did as a teen, and you're like, oh, my God, I did some stupid shit. Imagine they're doing that.
Well, just all of the, you know, just all of the ways I would, you know, I have a daughter. I have two daughters, and I'm lucky. My older daughter has a boyfriend who seems to really, you know, worship her, and I'm very, very lucky for that. But I worry about this dude doing some dumb shit and me having to fucking run up on him. You know what I mean? I'll pull up. You know what I mean? I have no problem doing that. I'll pull up on a little kid too. I'll pull up on parents. I don't give a fuck, man. Like, you know, my daughter comes home and says, you know, such and such was mean to me today. Immediately, I'm like, whose mom is that? Whose dad is that? Who's the dad? What's the dad's name to my wife? And she's like, baby, you can't. And I'll be like, I will pull up on these motherfuckers. I have no problem. Like, you just can't. You can't. The thing that Turk and Carla are going through, you go through for the rest of your life. Like, I saw a meme. It wasn't a meme. It was a TikTok where this girl gets in the car and her mom's sitting there waiting for her. And the girl gets in crying. Her mom's like, what happened? What's the matter? And she's like, I got jumped. Oh, she said, oh, yeah? By who? She said, some girl. She said, how old were they? She's about 12. Her mama said, okay, bet. I'm 12 now, too. Let's go.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? That's real talk, man. You just have
I'm afraid to have kids. I can't handle this pressure.
It's real, man.
Daniel, you're next.
He is.
Whoa.
I'm next.
Congratulations.
Daniel, shut up. Daniel, do you have any names in mind?
Yeah, I was thinking Zach and Donald.
Kids will probably be named like Zelda.
Zelda's a beautiful name.
Oh my gosh.
Or Link.
Y'all are
we have twins. I was thinking Link and Zelda and Link.
There you go.
Oh, that's weird.
All right. Do we have a guest caller today, Joella, or are you not going to record their sound? Oh.
Wow.
Sorry. Shots fired. We're recording right now.
All right, let's take a break, and then we'll talk to someone who will be very interesting. We'll be right back. And we're back! All right, Joelle, bring us a guest.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage, maybe talk about the episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Carolyn Odo!
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Aloha.
Hello.
Welcome to the program. This is Fake Doctors, Real Friends. That's the Donald Faison. And of course, you know the legendary Daniel and Joelle.
And that is Zach Braff right there.
Zach Braff wearing a crystal necklace. That supposedly is going to give me energy and powers.
How's that working out for you?
I don't know. I need to take it off and see if I feel any change. But I kind of feel like it looks like Mardi Gras beads, but with a little tassel.
I like it.
But I like it. I think it's giving me powers.
You know what it kind of looks like to me? It looks like the Kung Fu beads from like the Saturday morning Kung Fu television shows that I used to watch with a feather at the end. You wrap that around a freaking like a spear or a sword or a sword.
I know what you're talking about.
Freaking, a sword.
Yeah, a sword. And it's freaking hip. It sounds like a Wu-Tang Clan album. Wu-Tang forever. Wu-Tang forever. Wu-Tang forever.
Carolyn, welcome to the program. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from just outside of Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Yes, not super exciting. I moved here about a year ago for work during quarantine.
What do you do for work? How do you?
Where did you move from?
I ask the questions, Donald.
Hey, calm down.
All right, we'll start off. I don't
release the fight.
Sorry. The question is, where did you move from, and what are you doing in Columbus?
Yes.
Beautiful. I moved from Cleveland, so not a very big move.
You know I love Cleveland, Carolyn.
Oh, you know, because you've talked about Mabel's before.
He only knows the two restaurants.
That's not all I know. I've been to the casino. I've done it all.
All right, Carolyn, what do you do for a living?
I'm wicked. So I am in clinical research. So I'm a senior director of clinical development at a biotech. We develop and research gene therapies for rare pediatric diseases.
Wow. Whoa. And so rare pediatric diseases, you're working on discovering medicines for them?
Yeah, exactly. So the primary disease that we're studying right now is called Krabbe disease. It's a globoid cell leukodystrophy. It's a very rare and catastrophic pediatric leukodystrophy.
What is that? I'm sorry. In layman's terms, what is that? What does that happen? What happens to the child? What is it?
Yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah. So loosely, with these children, unless they are caught with through newborn screening programs, and Krabbe is actually only part of newborn screening in 9 states at the moment, these children will be born typically developing. You know, 10 fingers, 10 toes, hitting everywhere they should on their Apgar, etc. And then as they grow older, the disease is very rapidly progressing. So the parents will notice that they are starting to fall behind on milestones, et cetera, and will start taking them into the doctor to get their diagnosis. My previous company up in Cleveland, I studied a couple different mucopolysaccharidoses, and those ones have a much later onset. They're lysosomal storage disorders. And so basically your body is constantly producing cellular waste. And so your lysosomes are in there kind of recycling, right? But with these lysosomal storage disorders, your body, you're missing the enzymes or the proteins or the genes that that should be doing that recycling. And so that cellular waste just builds up.
You know, I'm sorry, because we don't know anything, even though we're pretend doctors. What is that? How does that manifest? What happens to the child?
Yeah, so with Krabbe disease, a lot of the early symptoms are the children will have difficulty eating, swallowing, breathing, moving. With some of the other other lysosomal storage disorders, it's a much later onset. With Krabbe, the onset is very young and very rapid. And so, you know, roughly 90% of these children will pass away by age 2.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. And it's not something that anyone, you said only 6 states are screening for this.
9 states right now.
So if anyone's listening, can they ask? I mean, because I'm sure there's people that are pregnant or listening to you. They're like, oh my God, what do I do? What do you ask your pediatrician or gynecologist about?
Yeah, so with these, different states have different options that you can add to your standard newborn screening panels. There's something called the RUSP. It's the Recommended Uniform Screening Panel. And that's kind of oversight from the federal government that mandates what should be included in each state. And then each state has their own kind of flexibility in what additional tests they screen for there. And I don't want to scare your listeners. I mean, Krabbe is an ultra rare disease.
It's rare, but I'm saying, if they happen to be listening to this, they can say, hey, if you're doing the RUSP, can you add a test for what is it called? Krabbe?
Krabbe, K-R-A-B-B-E.
Krabbe. I would.
And so there's 9 active right now, you know, but then it's really challenging. There are some petitions up right now to get Krabbe added to the RUSP, but there are petitions for a lot of rare diseases. at the moment, trying to get them included.
Really? Why? I wonder why. This is probably a stupid question if you're in the medical business, but why not add them all? Like, why does the RUSP have to be limited?
So kind of two main reasons. One, depending on how frequent the disease is or how well it's been studied, it might be, there might be a high rate of false positives, or the diagnostic screening criteria might not be well enough defined. Mm. And so you don't want to give somebody bad news if it's not really true. Yeah, no, and then, right. You know, and they really tend to shy away from diseases that don't have cures. So if there is no cure for this disease, there's some ethical considerations about whether or not the families would want to know. There's a standard of care for Krabbe disease. It's not a cure, but it is a...
You just said something that's sort of a darker side of this, is the ethical concerns of telling someone that their child will only live to two, right?
Correct.
Like a vault. I don't know if we can go down that road, Carolyn. I'm going to start crying. It's supposed to be a comedy podcast here.
Carolyn,
can you tell them very quickly why you wrote in and what you're hoping to do?
Yes. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah. So I actually have cool stuff that I wrote in about. This actually worked out really perfectly that I'm able to be on the show today because I'm celebrating an anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
What is it?
Thank you. 1 month ago today, I donated my right kidney to a stranger.
Oh my Holy God. Cow! Wow! Let me see the scar. Just kidding. No.
He's always asking inappropriate things.
I have been flashing everyone.
No, Carolyn. I had to talk to him earlier about speaking to our coworkers in an inappropriate way.
No. I was talking to you.
You can't ask a woman you just met to show a scar.
All right, my dog is.
Aww, sweet.
She heard exciting voices and had to look up and say hi.
Yes. That is a very cute dog you have
very
there.
Cute. So wait, okay. Oh my goodness. Carolyn, how did this come about?
It actually came about through my dog, actually, which she has very good timing. She just didn't even know it. So one of my hobbies is I'm a puppy raiser for a group called Canine Companions for Independence. And what I do in my volunteer role is I take in puppies when they're about 8 weeks old. I raise them until they're about a year and a half to 2 years old. And then I do all their basic socialization, training. They go as age appropriate. They go to work with me. They go to the grocery store with me. They go on airplanes with me. They go, you know, anywhere I go, I've always, always for the last 6 or so years, I always have a dog at my side. And so then at the end of the time that I have them, I take them into one of our local training centers. They do 6 or so months of actual professional training, and then they go off and become service dogs.
So for the blind or for other things?
Yeah. So the group that I'm with, we do mobility dogs. So for people who have, you know, amputations, wheelchair users, et cetera. We do hearing dogs for people who are hearing impaired, but we do not do any seeing eye or guide dogs, because there are so many groups out there that do such a great job with all of that. Mm. And so
you guys filled a spot that was necessary, training service animals that weren't for the blind.
Yeah. And so since I don't do any work with visually impaired service animals, I follow a bunch of different groups on Facebook, right? Because like I always want to learn about stuff that I'm not actively
doing.
You
seem like a pretty angelic human being. And we already know how this is going to end, but go ahead.
My ex-husband would have something otherwise.
Well, he better not need a kidney because you got none left to give.
No, I'm down to, so my left kidney, side note, I have named it Jeffrey Bean Morgan.
Jeffrey Bean.
Nice.
Jeffrey Bean.
Okay, so go on.
That's funny.
J.B. Morgan.
I got it. Get to the point where you gave a kidney to a stranger.
Yeah. So for a few years now, I've followed this one group, this one Facebook page about this woman living in D.C. who's got a seeing eye dog. And it's really cool to read about her adventures and see kind of what, you know, get a glimpse into how somebody else lives. And then in March, she posted a personal plea from her personal Facebook page onto the dog's Facebook page saying that she needed a kidney. And, you know, it's been a really shitty couple of years, right? And I don't know, just something about her post just kind of struck a chord with me. And it was a couple of days after my 39th birthday. So I was already in that like oh my God, I'm about to turn 40. What am I doing with my life?
What have I done? Right. What have I done with my life? Who have I supported?
I haven't made a difference. Right. What's the quickest way I can make a difference?
How can I fix 2021? Yeah. And so there was just a little link in her post to an online questionnaire. And I'm like, well, you know, it's like a Tuesday afternoon or something. And I'm procrastinating from work. And I'm like, I wonder what kind of questions they can ask you on an online survey that'll tell you about, I don't know, if you can donate a kidney. I'd never thought about this before. So I click on the link. I fill that out. I end up passing through the first few online stages. They sent me mouth swabs. I did a bunch of mouth swabs, sent those back in. And about a month later, I got a call saying, hey, so you're a match. Can you come in and do all these crazy medical tests with us?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how is your relationship with this lady now, with this seeing eye dog?
Oh, my gosh. So that was really crazy because, I mean, I didn't even know her real name.
I'm sorry. I lost one thing. Is she a trainer of seeing eye dogs, or she uses a seeing eye dog?
She uses a seeing eye dog, yes.
Oh, so she's a blind woman.
She's a blind woman.
Got it. Okay, so that woman is not only blind, but is in dire need of a kidney. That's incredible. I have questions.
Please.
They must have told you what could go wrong. We did this on Scrubs. Things can go awry for the donor. Were you nervous about that? You must have been. What was your thinking about that?
Do you know what that's so crazy is that not once, like there was no fear. Like this was just a really empowering and really exciting process. I think, you know, because I work in the medical field and part of my job is designing the informed consent documents for our clinical trials, right?
Wow.
So like,
oh, wow.
I know all of these. I actually also last year I got COVID. And so I joined a clinical trial for people who had COVID because obviously I want to help with that research. So I'm actually still in a clinical trial for something else right now.
Oh my God.
And they let you do the surgery, wow, that's amazing. And so how does this affect your clinical trial then? Now, does this move you into a different level in the clinical trial because now you only have one kidney? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I guess the clinical trial didn't have anything to do with the kidney, having two kidneys.
It was a monoclonal antibody infusion I got when I was in the hospital after getting COVID. It's completely separate. I'm just in long-term follow-up. I got the monoclonal antibody back in January. So.
How is your life in any way different with one kidney? Is there anything you have to do differently or feel differently?
In the initial post-transplant, I mean, I'm at 1 month today and I'm obviously...
You look amazing. You look happy.
Yeah. Are you single? You mentioned your ex-husband. Are you single?
I am single.
Oh my goodness. You guys got to date this woman. She's beautiful. She's pretty much a saint.
She might give you a kidney. Well, she can't give you a kidney, but maybe.
She's
out of kidneys. Maybe a liver. But maybe a liver.
I can tell you where to find one if you do need one, because now I've been learning so much about this community and the donor world. And I mean, it's been really, really sobering joining a lot of these support groups and seeing how many people do not have happy endings like this.
It's really rare that you meet somebody who's not only in the medical field, but also has donated part of their body to save another person's
life. Carolyn, I could give a kidney to a loved one or a family member if they needed it. I don't know that I could do a stranger. I mean, you're a saint.
Because that was a question that a lot of people had for me, you know, too, is, well, why would you give a kidney to a stranger? Why don't you save it for
Right?
Save it. Keep it.
That's kind of funny. You might need it for a loved one.
Yeah, but.
I never heard anyone say it like that.
I'm sorry.
That's their own rationalization.
Absolutely.
I would do it, but I'm hanging on to it just in case.
Don't get me wrong. I personally would, but my mother's not looking great lately.
Yeah, but it's great because with this, and it's a little different for me because this was considered a directed donation because it was specifically for this one woman. But if I had done it altruistically by just joining the National Kidney Transplant Registry and signing up through there, they have a voucher program. So, Zach, let's say that tomorrow you decide to donate a kidney, get on the register.
What do I get? How much do I get?
See if you match anybody, you get actually a lot of really interesting stuff, but you also get a voucher that can be used for your family so that if down the line you
Well, what about me? What if I need a kidney all of a sudden?
You'll be fine.
No, I mean, I wonder if it's happened that someone's given a kidney. like you, and then they then their kidney's fucked.
It absolutely does, and you end up getting moved to the top of the register.
I would hope so. That's like the fast pass. You get a fast pass.
You're A-okay if something like that happens.
Wait, do you get, don't people sell their kidneys?
Not legally in the U.S.
Oh.
And that's actually part of, like, they are, the tests that you go through to do this are bonkers. I mean, like, I'm healthy. I don't really go to the doctor beyond, you know, occasional, like, annual, whatever. But, oh my God, this is like the first time I did CT scans and all these crazy testing that you have to go through psychological counseling. You have to go
of
through,
like
different financial counseling so that you're fully aware of any potential.
Who pays for it? Sorry to interrupt you because I'm just fascinated, but who pays for all of this? Are you out of pocket?
The recipient's insurance covers everything. I think in total, I was out of pocket for maybe $100 worth of stuff. Wow. And the only reason for that was the testing process was long, long, long. And I was overdue for a pap smear and my PCP was super backed up because everybody's backed up with everything for COVID right now. And so mad props to Planned Parenthood, because I reached out to them and explained that this was the last thing I needed before I could do this surgery. And they fit me in within a couple of days.
Wow.
Mad props there.
Shout out Planned Parenthood.
All I'm getting out of this is that Donald and I aren't good enough people.
No, you aren't a good enough person. I'm fine.
Oh, really? Why don't you put your ass on the registrar then?
You want me to put my ass on? You want me to donate my butt?
Yeah, well, actually, someone would probably take your ass. Can you donate ass cheeks?
I mean, post-mortem, you can absolutely donate skin that can be used for skin grafts or similar.
No, we said ass.
No, cheek. Challenge. Cheek itself.
The cheek itself.
Cheek itself.
I am unaware of any medical.
That'd be funny. That's like a Scrubs fantasy, actually. Like someone says, you can have all my organs and my ass cheeks.
And my ass cheeks.
Kind of like front butt.
Front butt.
All right. Well, you're incredible. I think we should, for the interest of time, skip questions, but we could do fix your life if you want. Do you need your life fixed?
Or do you have questions?
You could pick.
All right. You know, I did have some questions, but again, in the interest of time, so my recipient was supposed to join today and last minute, she wasn't able to, which was super disappointing. We met for the first time less than 12 hours before surgery. I mean, it was...
Joelle, you almost programmed the best show ever. You got like 80% of the way there.
Inches.
It was so...
Joelle, I give you 80% props.
Thank you. I'll take it.
She was super, super, super disappointed. She wasn't able to make this, but she did ask me to share one thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I'll use my remaining time for this, which is that she was really fortunate in that she had this social media network where she was able to put out a call for a kidney and a stranger saw it, right? Because she's got a pretty decent social media presence. But there's so many people out there who don't, right?
Right.
And there is such just drastic, drastic inequality against with transplant in general, with the differences between deceased donor donations against like what I did, which is obviously living organ donation. And so her big call is just for people to think about ways to make the transplant process more inclusive and equitable for both recipients and donors. And thinking that, I mean, the numbers are staggering. 14 people join the National Transplant Registry every day. 20 wow. Americans die from kidney disease waiting for a transplant every day. The average wait for a transplant is 3 to 8 years. And during that 3 to 8 years, you are on dialysis day in, day out. I mean, it is.
Okay. So how can people who are as saintly as you, who want to do this, where do they go to register?
Yeah, you can go to kidney.org. That's the National Kidney Foundation website. Or you can go to just kidneyregistry.org. You can learn loads more about the process. And I totally get it. I'm so fortunate that I was able to do this because I don't have any kids, right? I have 2 dogs and a cat. Right. So I didn't have to worry about caring for somebody during my recovery. I have an amazing employer. Shout out to Tim Miller, who gave me all the time off that I needed. I was actually back at work within a week because I was feeling really good. But somebody who gave me paid time off and all the space I needed, also for all of my appointments, et cetera, everything leading up to this, like the stars just aligned perfectly that I'm in a place where I was not negatively impacted financially, physically, emotionally, psychologically, whatever, that I had such an amazing support system across the board.
Yeah.
And most people,
you're amazing. I have to keep mine in case something happens to Donald, but I do think that a lot of people should sign up for this at kidney.org or kidneyregistry.org.
Absolutely.
Carolyn, you do so much for so many people. I hope you have a lot of someone out there that's doing something as well.
Yes, Carolyn, are you on one of the dating apps? Maybe we can set you up.
I'm not doing this to get her a date, dude. I'm just saying, man. But maybe that's not what she's looking for, bro. I'm just saying.
Everybody wants
I just
love.
Hope you have somebody in your life or a group of people or friends in your life that are as supportive as you are. For complete strangers, yo. You are an amazing person. I think you
Amen.
Are awesome, Carolyn, for real.
I have an amazing support group. And also, you know, the puppy raising community is really, really tight. And so all of the other puppy raisers in town have been bringing me food and taking my dogs. Oh. And, you know, I have.
It's like a Hallmark movie, Donald.
I was gonna say.
Donald and I are going to sell this to Hallmark, Carolyn. We'll cut you in. It's like a Christmas movie.
Seriously.
How my dog saved the
Everything you need. Right. It's got a beautiful woman giving her kidney to a blind stranger and puppies.
Yeah, and a comical moment with a dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom.
Lots of comical moments with the dog. I'm just waiting. We're hoping to go visit the recipient this week, and it'll be the first time we've seen each other since the transplant.
Wow.
I can't wait till you guys are friends and you can stop calling her the recipient.
You know what? I'm honestly just doing that because we're on here and she's not here, so I wasn't comfortable using her name.
No, of course.
Totally understand.
Just because she's not here. But
if she hears this, we are so happy that you're doing well, and so happy that there are people like Carolyn out there who are saints on earth. I think one thing you can do is make sure that you're on the organ donor list, that's against your religious beliefs, of course, but you can make sure it's usually on your driver's license if you were to die, and they can harvest and save lots of lives with your organs. And unlike scrubs, they most likely won't have rabies in them. And
right, they'll test them first before they just don't them out.
Yeah, absolutely. Postmortem organ donation there.
Everybody can have my kidney when I die.
Both of your kidneys, not just the one.
Yeah, everything. You can take everything. Okay. Just leave my hair. I want my hair.
It's going to fall out anyway.
I know, dude. I'm not an idiot. Come on. It's going to fall out anyway. Didn't you see Goonies?
Sloth! Hate! Zach!
Chester Copperpot had no hair left. All right.
I wish the octopus would have killed you, Zach.
Okay, I love you.
Oh, my God.
All right, Carolyn, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for letting me on and letting me share this story about living organ donation. It's been a true life changer for me, and hopefully this will inspire some of your listeners.
I bet it will. I bet you just made a big difference in a lot of people's lives because this show gets heard all around the world, and I bet you inspired other people to do the same.
I don't know if you know this, Carolyn, but we're a really popular podcast.
Yeah, we're very huge. That was a humble brag, Carolyn.
You guys, I only missed one podcast. I missed the live episode last week, but I watched
it. How dare you?
But that is literally the only episode I have missed since March of last year.
Yay.
Wow.
Thank you, Carolyn. Well, thank you, awesome. Carolyn. We appreciate thank that.
You. All right. Thank you so much for coming on. Be healthy.
Thank Take care. You Bye.
Wow, dude. We're not good enough people.
All right.
I got to get my shit together, dude. Yeah.
With the amount of doctors that you guys have inspired over the years with the show and the amount of lives that those people have inevitably saved with your influence.
Right. And maybe Carolyn just inspired people who do have the courage to do something like that.
Hopefully. Yes.
Yeah.
Holy amazing cow. Woman. She's that is an amazing, amazing,
what a woman.
Thing to
and
do.
And she incredible. Saves children. Oh,
right. Like,
my
it's
God.
Like, but that's the thing. That's the thing that's, it's like, you're already doing good work. You had to step it up another notch, huh?
Listen, everything she does, everything she does is amazing.
Yeah.
True.
Everything. When she's not working on helping to find cures for rare pediatric diseases, she's training puppies for handicapped people.
Yeah.
Truly.
And when she's not doing that, she's
this
donating organs.
This Hallmark movie's going to be fire.
Dude, yes. It's so much dude, oh my God. It's got three things. It's got puppies, yeah. It's got babies,
I think,
and
Amanda
it's got
Klutz could play her.
I agree.
Yes, because it's an Amanda Klutz Hallmark movie. Bam. Boom.
Let's do it. Done and done.
Who doesn't want to see that? Wow, Joelle,
we mentioned that you're good at pitching. Can you go pitch
Let's
that
go.
To Hallmark?
I got this.
We just did. We just did. Hallmark, we got the movie for
we
you.
We need a Hallmark. We often have Hallmark movie ideas. We need a Hallmark executive to be listening to the show.
Yes.
Because we're just pitching them free shit.
Yeah, and email us at scrubsiheart@gmail.com, yep. Hallmark. And
yeah, hey, listen, I don't want you stealing our ideas. If I see this story on Hallmark, I'm going
to
see your
You're dead to
ass.
Me, Hallmark. You're dead to me.
Casey Cobb
straight
will watch
to Lifetime.
Casey Cobb will watch the shit out of this movie on Hallmark, especially if it stars Amanda Klutz.
Love it.
All right, guys, that's our very wacky show. We love you very much. Donald.
5, 6, 7, 8.
About a show we made. About a bunch of doctors and nurses and